Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. If you got a young child, we're Faith Builders about to start. So send your young child 4 to 11 years old out of the aisles and let them go across in the chapel. Amen? Amen. For Faith Builders time. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Let the church say amen again.
Amen.
Truly, David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And he said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Is that all right? Now, I'm just about there ready to sing my song. But since I can't sing the song, I'm going to have Brother Terrell come to sing High Behind the Mountain. And then I'll be ready to preach the gospel of Christ. Amen. Go ahead, Brother Terrell.
High behind the mountain, well, I'm gonna high behind the mountain, well, I'm gonna high, oh, behind the mountain.
Chilly winds
on below.
I was going to sing it just like that, but I said, let the one who can sing it, sing it. I meant to ask him to bring me up on that, because that song ties into my sermon. And then when I got up here, I said, I asked him to sing it. I'm going to sing it. I said, no, I better let him sing it. So if you don't let him sing it. Because truly we serve a good God. And our God is in the blessing business. And I want you to realize, and then you need to know, that you are special, precious in the Lord's sight.
Amen.
That whenever the Lord sees his children, the Lord sees us as being precious. And special in his sight. Not because of what we've done.
Amen.
But because what Jesus has done for us.
Amen.
How he's covered us in his blood.
Amen.
How he has redeemed us back to God.
Amen.
How he has become our atonement for all we've done.
Amen.
So now God can look at us not as filthy rags. But he can look at us as that which was filthy rag, but now is precious in my sight.
Yeah.
I'm excited about being precious in God's sight.
Amen.
Want to let you know that I got to say that right after the 11 o'clock service today, I need to see all the ministry leaders back in the office. That's right after the 11 o'clock service today. Let's make about 15 minutes after so we can greet our visitors. And then we're going to meet all the ministry leaders back in the office. All right. Amen?
Amen.
And don't forget early service today at 3:30 p.m. If this is a combined worship, so 3:30 p.m. we have our early worship service, as well as next week on the fifth Sunday. On the fifth Sunday, we got a special preaching treat for you.
All right.
So I ain't saying no more.
All right.
Amen?
Amen.
I want to let you know that I don't know about you, but I'm so glad to be a Christian. I am glad to be in Christ. I am glad to be saved. So when stuff just happens, I still can hold on to Jesus. When life try to take you for a ride, I can hold on to Jesus. When things just ain't going right, I can hold on to Jesus. Because he's my rock in a weary land. And I'm going to hide behind that mountain named Jesus Christ. Truly, God is a good God, and he's able to do both all we ask and all we think. I want to thank God for all of our visitors, visiting family members who are here, our visitors from other congregations of the Lord's people. If you just stopped in, well, I'm glad you're here, because there's a word from the Lord for you on this day.
Amen.
What I want to say is that in this letter, 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul has gotten all the way in a Roman prison. He's gotten some word that his son Timothy is not doing well right now. And you know that's how all of us are from time to time. Sometimes life can just happen. Where unless you know that you know that you know you know, then you're going to be rocked and shaked around a little bit. And the reason why is because you don't realize, and we don't realize sometimes, that this is a battlefield for the cause of Jesus Christ. That we're in this thing to serve God and to rescue as many souls as we can from this dying world. And on our way and on our journey, God wants us to be okay with that. And when he said in James, he says here that we need to understand that God is a good God, and we need to learn to count it all joy when we go through stuff. See, because if you go through stuff and you don't count it all joy, you're going to get messed up. Some of y'all messed up right now because you're going through something and you ain't still giving God praise. Right. You're going through something and you ain't still magnifying his name. You're going through something and you still ain't saying God is still good all of the time. See, if you just say that, whatever you go through, it's going to seem lighter. Whatever you go through, it ain't going to be as heavy because you know that you got God on your side. Right. Timothy has been assigned the church in Ephesus. And the church in Ephesus was going through some stuff. So when he got up there, they put him through some stuff. You know, hurt people. They were hurting. And when he got there, they got him to be hurting. What's the remedy to hurt people, hurting people? When you're around hurt people, you still say, I'm accounting all joy. Whatever I got to go through. And it's going to be all right. So Paul writes this letter, and he sits down and writes this letter to his son Timothy, who he knows is going through some stuff. Listen, whenever you're going through stuff in your life, I want you to be able to say something like this. Lord, I am willing to receive what you give. In fact, you can repeat this after me. Let's start over again. Lord, I am willing to receive what you give, to lack what you withhold, to relinquish what you take, to suffer what you inflict, to be what you require. And Lord, if others are to be your messengers to me, I am willing to hear and heed what they have to say. That's powerful right there. Because some of us, we can't take some stuff we need to receive in order to make us better for Christ Jesus. We got to learn that this Christian walk isn't all about us. It includes us, but it's not all about us. It is about brothers and sisters in Christ helping one another to win the battle against the enemy. So what Timothy is going through in his passage of scripture is he is hurting right now because he's not going through a good time. So Paul said in verse 1, he said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, meaning God chose me, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul said he chose me according to the promise of life, meaning he chose me and promised me eternal life. And when God chose you, meaning you obeyed the gospel and he promised you heaven, you just got to reach and grab it.
Amen. Yeah, yeah. Amen. Right.
Somebody said, I can't see it, Brother Bethia. But take a word from God's word in Luke 14. Go there. John 14. I knew Luke wasn't sounding right. John 14. When Jesus is about to leave his disciples, he know they're going to be upset. He know they're going to be all messed up. He know that this ain't going to sit well with them.
Yeah.
So he had to look at his guys and he said, let not your heart be troubled. Hold it. Hold it. But you're about to leave us, Lord. He said, don't worry about that. Let not your heart be troubled. But we ain't going to see you no more. Yes, yes, you will. Just listen to me. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. He said, because in my Father's house are many mansions. He said, if it was not so, I would have told you. He said, now I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, guess what? I'm coming back. That's good news right there. I'm coming back to receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you will be there also. So let not your heart be troubled. So Paul has accepted this promise of life that he has in Christ Jesus. Watch it now. He said to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, meaning Timothy, you know I love you. Sometimes when folk go through some stuff, other folk need to look at him and say, look, you know I love you. You know, because ain't nothing more powerful than a word. Some folk, we know they love us, but that's to hear them say, I love you, or take it to another level. Amen. Watch the text. He said, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. He said, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, meaning I was never playing at this thing. Even when I was wrong, I wasn't playing. Even when I thought I knew what I was doing, but I wasn't doing the right thing, I wasn't playing with it. Amen. He said, I've been serving God all this time in a pure conscience. What are you saying, preacher? Even though you don't know everything, whatever you do, do it in a pure conscience. Even though you don't know whether you crossed all the T's or dot all the I's, but whatever you do, do it in a pure conscience. Meaning, let it be right to your soul. Amen. He said, I've served him in a pure conscience. And then he goes on to say here that without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers. Timothy, I'm thinking about you, and I'm thinking about you all night, and I'm thinking about you all day. Obviously, with the word he got back, hurt his heart. That made him want to write and tell Timothy, I'm praying for you. I got you in my prayers. He said, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears. Y'all reading that? I heard you've been crying, Timothy. I don't know what's going on, but I heard you've been crying. Somebody said they're breaking your heart. But again, when anybody want to make you cry, what do? Count it all joy. Amen. When you go through divers temptation, go in and cry, but say, God got my back. Yes. Too many times we go through stuff, but we don't say, but God got my back. Right. Too many times we go through storms, but we forget God got your back.
Right.
Oh, church. Watch the text. He says here, I'm mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. Paul said, I know you've been crying, but I'm telling you it's going to be all right. Why is it going to be all right? Paul said, because I've been thinking. And what came across my mind was where you come from. You, church, we got to know where we come from. When God saved us, we have been purchased with a price.
Yeah.
And we are not our own.
That's right.
We belong to Jesus, being purchased with a price.
Amen.
He said, I remember your people. He said, I remember the unfeigned faith. That's the genuine faith. That's the pure faith that is in thee. I remember when I was with you, Timothy, you would do it if nobody did it. You love God no matter what. I remember, I don't know what they did to you. Some folk can do some stuff to you.
Amen.
That can make you forget where you come from. But I'm telling you, God is telling you, when you're going through stuff like that, count it all joy. Oh, y'all ain't got this yet. I'm driving down 695, going about 68 to 70 miles an hour. I'm in the fast lane. I'm in the middle lane. I'm in the left lane. The right lane. I'm back to the left lane. I'm just cruising Saturday morning, and things are looking good. The sun is out. And I go all the way around to the Frederick Avenue 70 exit. And I get off the 70 exit and go down 70 to the end to the parking ride and get around the parking ride. And when I get around the parking ride, I get on Cook's Lane. I'm driving up Cook's Lane, and just then the wheel came off. Y'all don't hear me. I said I was on 695 going 70 miles an hour. I said I was switching from lane to lane. Yeah. I said I was jumping back and forth. All right, now. I was saying I got in the parking lot and spun around the ride. Right. Went up Cook's Lane. And at that time, God says, wheel come off.
Yeah.
Right, I got to show him who protected him. I got to show him who watched him all night. I got to show him who's watching him all day. I got to show him who's his provider. I got to show him who his sustainer is. I got to show him who's on his side.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Amen.
You're right about it.
Boom! It went. Uh-huh. The wheel went in. Clink!
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the brother said, I shouldn't have been able to do this, but they don't know what my God can do. The word was, when that wheel go in, I can't see how you was able to get it over to the side. Because that wheel went in, and when that wheel go in, the steering is out. You can't control it. Well, maybe God picked it up. Maybe God sent it on it. I don't know, because when it went boom, I was like, whoa. I don't know, but all I know, when it was over, I was safe. On the side of the road. Had all my Sunday stuff on. Got out the car, looked around, said, what was that? Looked, I saw the wheel. I said, uh-oh. Man. The devil said, that's going to be big money. See, the devil wants you to forget the blessing God just gave you and take your mind off of what God just did for you and have you put your mind on earthly things rather than praising him and thanking him and glorifying him and magnifying him and lifting him up. He wants you to worry about a little bit of money. I told myself I was broke before. I'm like Paul, I know how to have money and lose it. I know how to be with it and be without it. I ain't got so big that I don't know how to be without it. I can have it or have it not. Thank God for my life. Paul said here that Timothy, you used to be like that. It's in you. You used to think about God above all his foolishness, above all his mess, he said, when I called to remembrance in verse 5, the unfeigned faith that is in you, that is in thee, which dwelt first in your grandmother. What he's trying to say is, Timothy, this is generation to generation. He's trying to let them know that Timothy is in you. You know how to have the victory in time of trouble. How many of y'all know how to have victory in time of stuff? How many of y'all know how to get the victory in time of stuff? You lose your job, but you get some victory. You lose your car, but you get some victory. You lose money, but you get some victory. How do you know how to? See, because in order to be able to do that, that has to be a love relationship with God. Oh, I got to tell y'all, wait a minute. Watch this. He said, it first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and what did he say? First dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice.
Yeah.
Hold it. First dwelt in your grandmother. She was something else.
Right now. Yeah, yeah.
Grandma loved God no matter what.
Yeah.
Grandma loved mom no matter what.
Yeah.
See, y'all don't understand what that means. What he's trying to remind Timothy is, I want you to remember your grandmother.
Right.
I want you to remember your mother. Uh-huh. You know how your mother was a soldier and how your mother was all for Christ and her mother. He said, I want you to remember. Why do we want him to remember? Because sometimes this world can make us forget where we come from if we don't take time to think and remember the goodness of God. You need to be able to say, thank you, Jesus, whether I'm standing up here or not. Because when you leave from this building about an hour from now, you got to go into a world and you got to have your faith. You got to have your testimony. You got to have what God has done for you. I'm not going to forget that he got me off 695. But that ain't the first thing he did for me. Or I can think back to some stuff that he did for me. Oh, church. My Lord. But how quickly, if we're not careful, we can't remember some stuff. We can't remember where we came from. I remember driving around. Don't laugh at me. I remember that I used to drive around. God just protected me because I used to drive around on $1 worth of gas. In fact, my wife said they used to call me, the guy at the station used to call me George. Because that's all he ever seen come out my wallet was a dollar bill. And I'm living all the way out in Essex, driving into the city on $1. Now back then, the gas was 49 cents a gallon. But that still only make 2 gallons. See, when you're young, you don't know some stuff. I'm thinking the needle moved. Oh, I can't move. And I'm driving down the road. I'm driving down 40. I'm driving down Philadelphia Avenue. I'm making my way back into the city, not realizing that I could be stranded at any moment. It's like a child. Sometimes when you're young, you are young and dumb. Sometimes we are. That's why God gave us this book, to mature us, to build us up, to take us to another level. Because where we are now is not where God wants us to be. He's telling Timothy, I want you to remember your mother and what she went through and your grandmother, what she went through. Because it's in you, Timothy. I don't know what they're doing to you, but you got the love of God in you. Then he says here, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, verse 6, that thou stir up the gift. Somebody said, how do you stir up the gift? I can only tell you how I stir it up. I don't know what you do. But the way I stir up the gift, it's the same way I guess you used to do it back in the day when you had that favorite song, that favorite instrumental music, or favorite, whatever you had, and you put it on. Some of you had it on the 8-track. Yes, sir, I know you did. I know you did. You had those big, long cars and with the wings on the back of it, and all of them come with 8-tracks in it. When you were feeling a certain kind of way and you wanted to feel a different kind of way, maybe you're feeling depressed and you want to feel better, you go grab that one 8-track. It was number 8. It was put number 8 in. Number 8. And you done wore number 8 out. Number 8 don't even play right no more. You don't care. It played just enough. You put it in that pew. As soon as it starts, you turn it up, and all of a sudden, the car start bouncing a little different. You start feeling different in the car. That's not smiling. Yeah. My boy about to hit it. I can hit it in a minute. Yeah. Yeah. That's how you did it. The way I stir mine up is I got me some good holy music. Christian music that I can put in my MP3. Some of y'all CDs. Oh, y'all better get rid of CDs going out. Ask the young people. It's an MP3. Am I right? Right. That's right. Put in your CD. You put it in there. And find one that God speaks to your situation. Just find that one. That's it. And then some of you may not be in the music. Maybe you just into the text. Find a text in God's word that just speaks. You know the one I like? I'm more than a conqueror. I ain't just a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me. Whenever I hear that, I'm more than a conqueror. Or I go back in the Old Testament. God said, I'm more than able. Yeah. Just find that scripture. Amen. I like the scripture that says, when God said, I know the desires that I have for you. To do you good and not bad. But wherever your stuff is, you listen, we live in a day and time right now. You better have something in there. Because as soon as you get off of CNN, you're going to need something. You better have something to put in there that can change your thought, that can change your mind, that can give you some energy. Sometime, Brother Terrell's song, I'm going to hide behind a mountain. I don't even need music with that. I put the windows up, I just start singing it. Now, if y'all was in the car, you would say, I can't sing, but I sound good to me. Where it come from, Brother Thea? I brought it to my memory. I brought it to my mind, my memory, that I might be able to bring it out and carry out God's word. Let me tell you one thing. Not only do you need to have that, but the Bible says in stirring up this gift, you got to start making a habit of, let me say it like this, encouraging one another. I'm trying to find another word for that. I just got to say it straight. Let me tell you, birds of a feather flock together. Amen. You need to get away from those gloom and doom people. Amen. Get away from those, oh, it's terrible, it's a mess. Because that stuff comes and sticks in your memory. Get on the encouraging people that say you more than a conqueror and that you can do all things through Christ that strengthen you. If God be for you, who can be against you? God is more than you. Get with those folk. And if you are a person that is generally negative, fight it. Fight it. All of us got a little bit in us. Fight it. Just say, I am not going to say that today. I'm going to speak life. I'm going to speak encouragement. I'm going to speak edification. I'm not. If somebody walk in and their shoes don't match, say something good about the socks. Say, man, there's some nice socks you got on right there. Bring it to you. See, because Paul said, when I bring to remembrance, Paul is saying that's how he keeping himself stable. Paul, Timothy is crying. He can't do nothing. He's in a Roman jail. So all he got is to think back. Because thinking back reminds them that Timothy going to be all right. Timothy might be crying right now, but Timothy just needs to know that the stir of the gift. Look at it. Let's read together. 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift. Who did he say stir up the gift? Timothy, you stir up the gift. Stir up the the gift which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. That means by my appointment. Stir up the gift. Verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Wait a minute, I know the rest of that. Wait a minute. If God having given us the spirit of fear, let me tell you what that means. When I was dancing on 695 and everything doing good and all this stuff like that, and finally I get to the end of my journey, the big blowout, and I'm on the side of the road, I could have went negative. I could have went, why now? I'm on my way to a funeral and the thing blew out and I'm stuck on this road. This is terrible. I'm this stuff all in. It's Murphy's Law. Murphy's Law. Murphy. I don't know who Murphy was. I don't like him. No. The Bible said all things work together for good. And I got to just receive that and go about my business. And I got to think positive. Lord, it could have happened on the highway at 70 miles an hour. My car could have flipped over, turned over, rolled over, and I'm dead. Yeah. Or I could have been sitting out there just thinking about that. I could have been dead and scared to death. I could have been dead. I could have died. Oh, my goodness. And I was switching lanes. Oh, my goodness. And I was speeding, too. Oh, my goodness. And oh, man. No, that ain't right either. Because God has not given us the spirit of fear. He said, but power. That's what he gave you. Y'all hear that? He gave you power. Anybody know you got power? And this side, y'all know y'all got power? Okay. How about this side? Y'all got power? How about y'all? Y'all got power? Power. God has given. He hasn't given us the spirit of fear from the devil. He said, I've given you authority. I've given you power. What else? Love. The devil said, hate somebody. God said, love everybody. Y'all ain't got that. Because, see, sometimes saying I hate somebody kind of make you feel good. Like, I hate them. I hate them. I hate them. That don't do nothing. Because if you had a person that was taking your blood pressure at that time, amen, they would tell you, you better calm that down a little bit. Because that's physiologically working on your body. Amen. What God wants you to say is, God, I pray their salvation. Amen. Right. Oh, y'all scared. And I pray that you would just continue to bless them that they may find Jesus Christ. Are y'all scared of that? Because that hate feel good. That don't work. That's why God said love them. He even said love those that persecute you. Some of you can't even understand that. Some of you been in church 20 years ain't figured that one out yet. You like, I can't get my arm around that. What he's trying to let you know is because it does you no good to hate or hurt or want bad on somebody. It does no good. What does good is to love them in spite of what's going on, because love affects you. Oh, God said, I've not given you the spirit of fear, but power, love. What's the next one? And a sound mind. A sound mind means to be able to think things through. Amen. Think things. Some of you walk in the house today. Some of y'all can walk in the house today and the wife ain't put the roast in. Uh-oh. You don't smell no turkey. Uh-oh. And you walk in there. And we walk in the house sometime and first thing go through the door is our nose. And let us not smell. I'm guilty of it. I don't smell nothing. Sister Bethea, where you at? I don't smell nothing. She said, honey, it is in the oven. And I'm thinking, Or the crock pot. See, but in my mind, I'm thinking that I'm supposed to smell something. Can't cook a lick. I got to tell on me, I can't cook a lick. Lord knows if she leave me, I'm going with her wherever she go. Because I'm going to be in some trouble. And so I'm thinking I'm supposed to smell something. But a sound mind would have told me, before you start charging people about stuff they didn't do, ask them first. Honey, sit them in there. I don't know what you're doing, but I know it's going to be good.
Amen.
I don't know what's going on. It's going to be good. And she might come. Well, we're going over to my mother's house. She made crab cakes and shrimps. But she didn't tell me at first. See, if I would have charged her, then that might have went a different way. She might have said, I'll be back. I'm going down my mom's house. You got to present. That's why the Bible say a sound mind. Let me take it. I'm almost finished. Let me take it this way. That's why when the Bible say tough stuff, think it through. When the Bible say if your right arm offends you, cut it off. Don't get a knife yet. Think it through. Does he really mean literally cut it off? Or is he figuratively saying if anything that's like unto your arm, as close to you as your arm, if it's in your way from going to heaven, get rid of it. See, that's what he's saying. But sometimes you got to have a sound mind and think things through. See, Timothy, all Timothy needs to do is think through the Ephesus situation. Ephesus was rough before he got there. And it takes time to turn stuff around. It takes patience to turn stuff around. I'm going to close with this situation. Sometimes folk, they get a wrong idea in their mind. And then when they get a wrong idea in their mind, they can go off. Let me give it to you. The child come to you and say, because they're so mad at you, I hate you. Now, old school, you ready to do some thunder. I got you. But, right. Right. That's kind of illegal now. And besides that, even the parents beforehand who went for the thunder really should have found out what that meant. Y'all find out what that meant. Do they really mean I hate you, or I hate you won't let me go outside? I hate you won't let me have what I want. I hate this house. They don't mean that. I hate this house, but get out of my room. It amazed me. I hate this house, but they go in the room. And lock the door. Wait a minute, hold it. That room is part of the house. So you don't really hate the house. At least you don't hate that part of the house. All I'm saying is a sound mind means when you're reading scripture or when you're dealing with life, think things through. Every one of us want God to come back real soon. But think it through. I'm glad God was patient to give me time to get in here. Y'all ain't got it yet. Aren't you glad God was patient and long-suffering to give you a chance to get in here? Because outside Jesus, you ain't going nowhere. So rather than saying, God, come quickly, we want him to come quickly, but I want Jesus to come, but before he get here, give me a space and time by which I can still get the gospel message out to somebody that they might obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because somebody was patient with me, I want to be patient with somebody else. So I'll close on this note right here. Then the text says here, in verse number 8, Be thou not therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. What are you saying? People messing with your Timothy make you want to quit the faith. Listen to me. Don't you ever, ever, ever quit Jesus. Amen. You know how sometimes you see, you tell a boyfriend, I quit you? You know how guys, sometimes we tell a girl, I'm done. I'm done. And you do that so much until it's easy, so you think that, you know, the church ain't doing me right. The church ain't called me. I don't believe in the church no more. I quit you. Now, some even trick it. I quit the church, but I love God. The church is the bride of Christ. Somebody say so? Well, let me say this. Don't come to me telling me you hate my wife. Because when you hate my wife, you automatically got a problem with me. Y'all don't hear. I ain't getting a lot of amen. What a world we live in today. I better show y'all in the Bible. The Bible says in Ephesians, I got to show you here. I got to show you here. Because I just sat there and y'all looked at me like, huh? Ephesians 5. The Bible says here, verse 28, so are men to love their wives as their own bodies, that he that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man has yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it. So let me conclude with this. So when you come to me, and, you know, we're human beings. Now she got some stuff with her. I got some stuff with me. All of us do. Amen. All of us do. I don't care what my wife do. I'm not going to let you come to me.
Amen.
Right. Help somebody. She might be wrong. She might have been dead wrong.
Yeah.
But you and I, you are not going to come to me and me and you going to crack on my wife.
Come on.
That's right.
Amen.
That ain't happening.
That's right. Yeah.
That ain't happening. Because basically when you're cracking on her,
amen,
you're really cracking on me.
That's right.
But you're smiling at me like, yeah, she's something else, man. But I tell you what, man, I wouldn't marry her if she was the last woman standing. And you up there, ha, that's so funny, man. No, he's talking about you.
Yeah.
He's talking about you. And you got to get into, and all of us got to get into the situation where we defend one another.
Yes, sir.
So when you come to me and say, my wife did this, then that's how I'll talk to her. Don't worry about it. I'll talk to her. She ain't mean. I got her. I'll talk to her.
Amen.
But to try to say, you know, I hate her. No.
Yeah.
No. Because when you say you hate my wife,
yep,
then I'm going to say you hate me.
That's right.
Amen. No, man, you my homie. No.
Amen.
I was your homie 5 minutes ago. Y'all ain't got y'all.
Amen, brother.
That is because that's God's plan.
Yeah.
That's by God's design.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this. If you can't forgive somebody else, God said, I'm going to forgive you the way you forgive somebody else. So you can be up there just knowing you're going to heaven. Lord, I can't wait till you come. I can't wait till you come. I can't wait to hear you say, well done. Well, he ain't going to say, well done. He can say, you done. Why? Because the same way you forgive others, it's the same way God can forgive you. So this sermon on faith, I pray, will bless you to understand that faith is the victory. It's your ticket to glory. It's your ticket to heaven. When Brother Harvin was up here singing that song, y'all was all fired up. He wasn't doing nothing but singing the songs out the songbook. Amen. We sing them every week, so why are you fired up? Because he sung it like he believed it. Amen. He's singing it like he got it going on. And when he's singing, he up his cheek drumming. I'm like, yeah, like, oh, go ahead, yeah, yeah. And it's stirring you up. It's stirring you up because he's singing like he believed it. Amen. My brother Terrell up here singing, just singing like he believed that. One more time. He already did it 10 times. One more time. And you don't mind it? Why you don't mind it? Because he's singing like he believed it. We need to serve God like we believe it. We need to love God like we believe it. We ought to praise God like we believe it. We ought to magnify God like we believe it. We ought to exalt his name like we believe it. I'm done. So if you're out there and you're subject to the Savior's invitation, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. If you're out there and you're subject to the Savior's invitation and you want to get some of this fire we have, this joy we have, this passion we have, it's all because of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I just read to you that sometimes on this journey we're going to cry. Sometimes we're gonna be, sometimes things ain't gonna go right. But we could be just like Job. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Because God has been too good to you, too wonderful to you, to let a valley experience in your life cause you to turn away from him. He's been too good to you to let you just say, I quit the faith. No. Tell God that you may not understand what's going on right now, but one thing you know, you will never forget what he's done for you. Amen. If you're out there and you're subject to the Savior's invitation, hear God's word, believe God's word, repent of your sin, confess your faith in Christ Jesus, and get yourself baptized into Christ for the remission of your sin. And then lastly, and be faithful unto death. And then, he's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen? Yeah. If you're out there, you're subject to the Savior's invitation, I want you to come right now. The water's ready. Heaven's ready. The angel's ready. Are you ready? I want you to stand up right now as we sing the song of invitation to give somebody out there the opportunity to obey God.
God sent his son.
Come right now. And you need to put Christ on in baptism.
And
because there's no other way to experience that love that comes from obedience in Christ. Won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you come right now? Won't you come right now? Won't you come? In faith, uncertain days, because it lives. Amen. Thank you, brother.